Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast through parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, Watch Yourselves. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 21. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you to St. John's this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Old Testament lesson is from Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be afraid, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words recorded for us this day in the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel. "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." Thus far the text. You may be seated. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the second to last Sunday of the church year. And as I told the children, you will notice next Sunday that the altar is going to look a little bit different. We've had green, except for when we've had a feast day or a festival day, for quite some time, for the past few months. You'll notice that the white paraments come out, the ones for Easter that we use for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And you'll also notice the color gold, both on these garments, both on our vestments, etc. Gold, as we look forward to and acknowledge that Christ certainly will come, coming as judge, as the judge of mankind. So as you've gone throughout your life, however many years you've been alive, for me it's 33 years, but as you've gone throughout your life, you have probably been pretty good at starting to understand those around you, and even, maybe yourself. But you always meet people in your life, and maybe you're included in that. I'll let you ask my wife if I'm included in this category, but people who are master procrastinators. So I'm going to coin that, I'm going to copyright that following the sermon, but there's a whole host of people, and I think each of us fall into that category to some extent. We all procrastinate all kinds of things. I don't want to answer this email, this requires too much brain power, I'm going to deal with it later. I don't want to send the Christmas card right now. I don't want to prepare the food for Thanksgiving too early because I have other things to do, so on and so forth. And there's also the procrastination that has to deal exactly with life in the church. Now, what do I mean by that? Procrastination of things such as the many, many, many reasons. And if I was to take a private survey where we wouldn't share the results, but if you were to take a private survey about the many reasons why people do not come to church, you would come up with a whole host of what I'm going to call usually excuses. Reasons that we're procrastinating being here every week, reasons we procrastinate coming to church for this or that reason. I have to cook Sunday dinner. You know what? I was up late last night, so I'm not going to come to church. I don't feel good. My stomach hurts. All of these things that can be used for reasons to get out of and for procrastinating coming to church. I can come next week. I'm not going to come this week. But there are countless reasons, some of which I'm probably not even aware of, that could be given for that. And think about it. How does this at all relate to the text that we heard this morning from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel? I mean, think about it for a second. If God were to announce the last day and give a precise date and time, as many across history had said, look, 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 he's coming in a month. He's coming on December 31st. He's coming on January 1st. He's coming in the middle of the summer when it's warm out here in New England. Look, he's there. Look, he's coming over here. But think about it. If God were to announce the last day, even an hour, even 10 minutes, even 1 minute or 30 seconds in advance of when his son was going to come, arrayed in great power and glory as judge of mankind, many would simply imagine that they had time to turn, to repent of their sins, to repent from their transgressions against God's holy law, and to turn to him later, that there's always more time. I think we always think there is always more time. There is always tomorrow. There is always next week. I can skip church today. I don't have to hear God's word this day. I don't have to receive the sacraments this day. There is always more time. I'm not going to die tomorrow. I can always pray tomorrow. I can always receive the sacrament tomorrow. We always think in our own minds there is more time. But as we saw in our text for today, this day, as Jesus says, will come suddenly, like a trap, like a lightning bolt that comes from heaven. You and I don't know when lightning's going to come. I mean, maybe you have a fancy smartphone. Mine, for some reason, I don't know why, sends me a notification when there's lightning strike within 15 miles of wherever I am. I don't know. I didn't set up. It just happens. But you don't know when lightning is going to come. But if God were to announce the last day in advance, we would think that there is always more time. But Holy Scripture, as we see this morning, ends for us that illusion. Because now, this day in 2025, on the second to last Sunday of the church year, now is the time to return to church. Now is the time to get back into the habit of coming to hear His Word preached, into regularly receiving the sacraments, and to joining in with fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you're not just people who show up every week and have nothing to do with each other, you don't know each other, that's not the case. This is the fellowship of the redeemed. These, you and us, we are the saints of God. Think about the great text we heard for the Feast of All Saints Day, where you have those clothed in white standing around the throne of the Lamb. That's who we are. That's us. We live life together, this side of eternity. And now is the time to come back and to be a part of that, and to get into the habit of doing such regularly, and to repent of your sins, to repent where you've transgressed God's law. And you can't know how you've transgressed God's law if you don't know it. I mean, as Christians, we should be able to recite the Ten Commandments. And from that, to take refuge in Christ, who is the Son of God. So until this last day, until the last day comes, when Christ returns, well, what's the world doing? What's the world doing? What is our sinful flesh wanting us to do? What does the devil want us to do? Well, think about it. They want us to join in with the world, who is doing what? Going about carelessly, right? Doing what? Eating. Eating's good. We all need to eat. Drinking water, your favorite soda, whatever, maybe too much wine or beer, I don't know. All of these things, dismissing God, could care less about what's going on at St. John's on 60 Broad Street on Sunday morning, and also mocking and blaspheming the name of God. And to the faithful, to all of us, what does the world say? When we talk about judgment, the world says to us, and it's as if the world says, do not speak to me about the last day. I mean, think about it. You've probably driven through, I haven't seen them here in Westfield, but I've seen them, I grew up in East Hampton, all the time recently on the town, I don't know what you call it, the town green that's there. People outside with the signs, you know, repent, the end of the world is near. And I venture to say that sometimes you drive by and are like, why are they out here doing this? Well, look at what Jesus is saying, right? He's saying the exact same thing. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. Christ is going to return. But to the faithful, the world says, don't speak of the last day. Don't speak of judgment. Don't even talk about hell. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear that that is a truth that Scripture proclaims. And don't talk about punishment. And I think a lot of times the world thinks that these are all some kind of farces, and maybe sometimes we're even tempted to think this, these are some kind of farces, facades, whatever word you want to put in there, your favorite synonym, that are created by the priests, created by the pastors, created by everybody around to strike fear in everyone so that they would fill their pews. Well, quote me this day, not the case. This is what God's Word says. And yet, while the world is going around carefree, and sometimes even us, for which we should repent and turn back to God for, they will see the Son of Man coming, the heavens. What's going to happen to the heavens? The heavens will open, and Christ, clothed as the judge of all mankind, is not just going to appear by himself. He's not going to come down all in friendly array. Not the case. He's coming as judge in bright arrayment, and he's going to appear with his holy angels. And so too, from there the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ, those who have died in the faith, will be raised, and all will tremble in fear before the throne, because we know that we are poor sinners. But think about it, for the ungodly, for those outside the church, what of God's wrath? God's wrath will press like mountains, will push like mountains upon all who have not prepared themselves for the day of wrath with true repentance. I mean, think of it. I don't know where it went up here. Let's see. Think of the first hymn that we sung this morning from the Lutheran hymnal. How do the stanzas end? We have, prepare my soul to meet him. On those prepared to meet him. All unprepared to meet him. and thus prepare my soul to meet him. That is what we are considering this day. And so it will be that God's wrath will press, will push, will crush down like mountains upon all of those souls who have not prepared for the day of wrath, as Scripture so warns us, with true repentance and faith in Christ. But here's the thing. Here's the good news of all this. That the judge, this very judge who will come in great power, who will come in great glory, who terrifies the unbelieving world and those who do not believe, is the same Savior that when you look up on my right, on your left, hangs on the cross. This is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who came to redeem you. And this Savior covers you with his very righteousness so that you may stand, and not just stand and quiver, stand with great confidence on that day when he returns. I mean, think about it. His cross, his resurrection, it's not something that's just written about in some kind of fairy tale book. That's not the case. These are historical facts. Jesus Christ is not dead in a tomb out somewhere in the Middle East. His death, his resurrection, these are facts of history that secure your standing on the last day. And in Christ, the Son of Man, your sins are forgiven. All of your transgressions, the ones for which you repent, the ones that are known and unknown, as we confess in the service, Christ forgives your sins. Because if he didn't forgive your sins, think about it. Why would the pastor stand up here every Sunday morning announcing to you the very gift of God that he's given to you, puts his hand up, "I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Why would I do that if Christ does not promise to forgive you your sins, that you will stand in strength on the last day as his redeemed? And you won't just stand. You will stand before him clothed in your very own baptismal garments of his own righteousness. I mean, think about it. The hymnal. You just saw the most recent baptism we had was our dear little one, Anna Claire. Well, what happened during the baptismal service? When you were baptized, the pastor hands this white garment, hands it to the parent, hands it to the sponsor, and reads the following, which connects right to this. The pastor says, "Receive this white garment to show that you have been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. So shall you stand without fear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the promise. You might not remember it because you were probably baptized as a baby, as a lot of us were. I was. I don't remember my baptism. I know it happened. I saw pictures of it. But these are the words that were spoken, that you may stand without fear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And because Christ has made you his own, and the waters of baptism has placed his name upon you, now is the time. Now is the time. This very day, now is the time. Despite the numerous excuses, despite the numerous procrastinations that you and I can come up with, some of which, as I said, I probably can't even think of, only you know for yourself, now is the time to return to a life of prayer. Now is the time to hear the Word of God preached. Now is the time to receive the sacraments and to walk in faithfulness. And as some of you know, probably if this was 5, 6, 7 years ago now, we have a radio broadcast every week. We have a YouTube channel also. But for those who are listening this morning to the radio broadcast, I sent an email years ago now, and I asked, how many people listen to this radio broadcast? I was actually kind of surprised, because I wasn't sure what I was expecting. But, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong. What was it, like 700, 900, 1,000, somewhere more than that? Yeah, that the radio station said that tune into our radio broadcast every Sunday morning and hear the Word of God preached, hear the hymn song, and whatever else we can fit in 30 minutes, depending on how long your pastor wants to talk for that Sunday. But here's the thing. If you're listening on YouTube, if you're listening on the radio, and you have a church that properly preaches the Word of God and administers the sacraments rightly, praise God. If not, what do? You come down to St. John's on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you hear the Word of God preached, and you come, and if you're a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we would love to commune you. If not, we would love to talk to you about what we believe. That's the thing. Invite your friends. Those who used to sit next to you in the pew, where are they? Invite them. Encourage them to come back to church. Encourage them to join in the life of the church, because now is the time before the last day arrives. For the hour is nearer than when we first believed. We know this. And the church herself hears the Lord say what? We just read it. The Lord says, stay awake. Not slumber, not sit with your hands underneath. Just stay awake. Open your eyes. Be vigilant. Pay attention. Do that which I have given for you to do. And therefore, now is the hour of the people of God to return. Return, return, cries the church. Return, return, also cries who? Return, return, cries your pastors, Pastor Riley and myself. And return, return, cries the living Word of God. For the Lord, who will come in great glory, declares to you this very day. Hear these words. Store them up in your memory. Stay awake at all times, that you may have the strength to escape these things that are to come and to stand before the Son of Man. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, The Clouds of Judgment Gather.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Go in the peace and joy of Christ. Amen.